VW Radio presents Inspired Minds with Brendan O'Shea.
A very warm welcome to this edition of Inspired Minds, a series of programmes where we meet musicians, authors and leading figures from all the artistic genres. Our guest today, opera and theatre director Robert Carson.
I mean, opera itself is a mixture of head and heart, isn't it? You have the words which are maybe more intellectually based and have a certain concrete quality. You have the music which is much more emotional. And the two together create a tension which allows opera, when it works, to be so unbelievably satisfying because you're challenged mentally while being fulfilled emotionally.
Born in Toronto, Canada, director Robert Carson trained initially as an actor at the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School in London. This led to a long stretch of apprenticeship as an assistant stage director, notably for 5 years at the Glyndebourne Festival, where he received the Carl Ebert Award for directing. Robert Carson has directed critically acclaimed opera productions in many of Europe's larger opera houses, including the Paris Opera, the Vienna State Opera, La Scala in Milan and the Cologne Opera, as well as for the Metropolitan Opera in New York and the Canadian Opera Company. His theatre work includes productions for the Roundabout Theatre in New York and the Bristol Old Vic in London. He also directed Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical The Beautiful Game and wrote and directed Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show for Disneyland in Paris. I recently met Robert Carson shortly before the premiere of his production of Wagner's Siegfried for the Cologne Opera and asked him firstly about the source of his inspiration for the stage.
I think it's a rather a mystery where the source of one's inspiration comes from, in fact. I work in different kinds of projects, and I suppose they're all, in one way or another, most of them related to music. So perhaps I would have to say that there's a mysterious alchemical relationship with music, and maybe when I listen to a new project, which is usually a combination of words and music, and the way in which the words influence the music, or the words, or the music influence the words, the inspiration, which is often very intuitive, comes somewhere out of that alchemy.
When you're preparing for a production, say, for example, you're here at the moment directing a Wagner opera, what's the process that you actually go through to finally get what comes on stage?
It's really complicated, and it's a process which develops over a period of time. Every stage production always involves the participation and the collaboration with the other members of the team, most notably the designer. The way in which you bring something to life on the stage is very complex because the composer, who is usually the dramatist in an opera, I mean, that is to say that the way in which he writes the music gives the dramatic tone to the piece, how long a scene will be, what kind of emotional impact it will have and so on. This is all, I suppose, quite obvious. The composer has certain intentions, and I suppose I and my team were like a kind of a conduit, and I'm a storyteller, but I'm retelling stories that have been told by other people and in many ways are handed down to us. The staging of an opera is a very impure thing. I mean, opera itself is very impure. It means, the word itself is a plural. It means work. So you're dealing with the combination and conjunction of many different kinds of things together on the stage. And it only remains pure when the book is closed and sitting on the shelf. When you start to stage it, in a way, you could already say there's an element of betrayal in bringing it to life because you can only realize some of what the composer maybe had in mind, particularly with something as complex as The Ring. But I suppose that developing staging starts by what the work is about, and what the work is about is not necessarily the story of the work. I mean, the story works like the rails for a train. It takes the thing forward, but as the journey develops of the work, as the work unfolds, you are coming in terms, in contact with so many different things, from psychological, psychical, spiritual, whatever you like, from human archetypes, social and behavioristic patterns. I mean, everything you could possibly think of. It's very complex. And you, together with a designer, in this case Patrick Kinmont, who I've known for over 25 years, and we've worked together many times, We made certain choices about what we thought we wanted this ring to be about, but we made those choices having deliberated and rejected other things. I mean, opera itself is a mixture of head and heart, isn't it? You have the words, which are maybe more intellectually based and have a certain concrete quality. You have the music, which is much more emotional. And the two together create a tension which allows opera, when it works, to be so unbelievably satisfying, because you're challenged mentally while being fulfilled emotionally, which is why tragedy is satisfying when it works. Wagner is a very, very complex case, isn't it? I mean, obviously.
It sounds to me that it starts with music for you.
Yes. I mean, of course, if the phone were to ring now and I was to receive a phone call from some opera company asking me to direct a work, I wouldn't know. The first thing I would do... Well, actually, no, the first thing I would do would read the... I would read the libretto first. I always just read the libretto. Yeah. Then I listen to it, always. And when I take a work on, when I start to work with a designer, the very first thing we do is read the thing out loud like a play, just exchanging parts. Mm. Then we listen to it. But it's, I mean, yes, prima le parole, dopo la musica. I mean, I start with the words, but the music is the thing which really instinctively lends me the ideas for any kind of scenic solution or any kind of route towards interpretation. It comes from the music, I think, probably. Above all, the process usually starts at least 2 years before the first rehearsal, because you need to give yourself a year to figure out how to do it. And then, I mean, ideally, and most large opera companies want the project to be handed in a year before the first rehearsal, so that they have time to cost it, to develop it, to resolve sheer practical problems of how to do it, and then it's ready for when you start the rehearsals. That, of course, is the interesting bit, because when you start the rehearsals, you come with certain ideas that have been developed, but it's only when you start to see the set on the stage, when you actually start to try the thing out, that you realize what does and what doesn't work. And I try to come with as open a mind as possible, not trying to just achieve what we said we're going to achieve, but trying to see what else is there and what we can be led on to do. And very, very often, almost inevitably, always, when I end up doing something that isn't quite what I thought it was going to be like. It goes beyond what we originally thought. And that's always a wonderful moment when you see, oh, my God, we can do this. It would be much better done this way around. And one's instinct was leading one in a certain direction. But the realization of that direction takes a bit of a twist when you start to work on it. And it's very important for me, at any rate, to be completely open-minded when I'm watching it, so that I won't miss that inspiration to let go and move on to something beyond or better or different, or not to mention the fact that when you work with the singers, I mean, or the actors, they have a great deal to bring to the project, and it's very, very important for me that they do so, because I don't see my job as just telling people where to go.
We all know that singers and actors tend to be, shall we say, full of temperament. If they're not, then, you know, often they're the boring ones. How much of your work also involves that, actually understanding these various artists with whom you work and getting the best out of them as well?
That's a huge part of the work. And I have had very few, very, very, very few clashes with singers or singers who've been resistant. I mean, I could maybe think of two in all these years, just two failures where it's just been impossible. And I think that most what's known as temperamental behavior is really insecurity. You know, at the end of the day, I'm not on stage trying to sing all that. They are. It's a question of trust. It's like every kind of relationship in life. It's a question of trust. And you meet people for the first time when the rehearsals begin. They don't know you. You don't know them. You and they have some kind of reputation, I suppose, which you've heard about before. And in a very short length of time, slightly unnatural, you know, it might be that afternoon you're asking them to lie down on the floor and make love to someone. They've just met that out that morning as well. So, of course, there's a professionalism in all this, but a real basic trust to get people... It's wonderful when you can make a contact with someone in the course of those 4 weeks and really feel you've both moved on somewhere that has nothing to do with either of you, with your egos or your your psychological makeup. It's just a sort of meeting of two people around a work of art. And then you move on and you maybe see them again. But this trust element is extremely important to nurture. So you have to be very aware of people. And as I said, insecurity, you know, the larger, the more famous the star is, the greater the height for falling is, and everyone's got is afraid of falling.
You, of course, started out as an actor, and I see you've been back and directed quite a few theatre productions as well. How does that vary, perhaps, to an opera production?
It doesn't vary as much as people might think. I mean, you know, you still have many of the similar concerns, as I said, of telling a story, of finding the most direct and powerful way to relate a piece of theatre to an audience, to make it relevant, to make it seem worthwhile. I mean, we all know there's nothing worse than being in the theatre and thinking, well, why am I sitting here? What is this to do with me? So all those concerns are the same. When you work with actors, technically and practically, things are different. I mean, for the most part, when you work with actors, they're speaking in a language which is their own. This is not always the case with singers. You know, music is a notated thing with rhythm, and you're right or you're wrong. There's no such thing as right or wrong. You can pronounce one day a sentence in a certain way, you can, and that's fine. Whereas in music, you know, a quarter note is a quarter note, and a sixteenth is a sixteenth, and there's a certain rigidity in musical writing, which, of course, it is all of our job to not make to seem rigid, and that's what the best conductors do as well. There's not a question of beating time, but of creating, recreating a spontaneous delivery around a set configuration of notes. So you don't have those concerns with actors. Also, of course, actors don't tend to come to rehearsals knowing their part by heart, whereas in opera, if the singer doesn't know his part, the words, the music, and everything by heart, you can't really get started, and in 5 weeks you wouldn't be able to make it.
You, of course, mentioned there one other person. That is, of course, the conductor. Is that also someone that helps with the inspirational side of a production, or perhaps, shall we say, maybe not always helps, but can be also destructive?
Yes. I mean, you know, the age-old thing, the relationship with the director and the conductor, it can be an absolutely fantastic thing, and it can also be very difficult. It depends on the two people concerned. As what I hope a good director, as a director, I have to put myself endlessly in other people's shoes when I'm directing, to encourage someone in their characterization. So when I'm in conflict with people, I try to put myself in their shoes and imagine what it is that they don't like. When we're dealing with inspirational matters, like a staging, when you're attacked, it can be sometimes very painful and very difficult, and one feels, one immediately becomes emotional, and that's not so good. I've had a few very difficult situations, I have to say, but I've had more than my fair share of very, you know, wonderful collaborations. One has to remember as well, it's a privilege to do what we do. I feel when, of course, I get stressed out and upset sometimes, but not so much. And I feel, you know, uniquely privileged to be able to spend my life doing this and to work with other artists and to work with this joyous thing, which is music, every day. It's fantastic.
Stage director Robert Carson, bringing us to the end of this edition of Inspired Minds. But before I leave you, a reminder to check out the Inspired Minds homepage. The website provides not only comprehensive information on the career and works of our guests, but also little-known facts about their personal lives and tastes, photos, archive recordings and readings. The address is easy, www.inspiredminds.de. Thanks for joining us today. We look forward to having you with us again next week. But till then, this is Brendan O'Shea saying goodbye from DW Radio, Cologne, Germany.